Coming up in this episode of Stay Haunted, we talk all about Warner Brothers Studios' Horror Made Here. Greetings and welcome to Stay Haunted, Creepy Kingdoms podcast, all about haunts. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, we tell you all about Warner Brothers Studio Tours, Horror Made Here, their limited time Halloween event in Burbank, California, bringing a new and exciting take on haunts to the Southern California haunt market. And if you do not live in SoCal, here's another reason to come visit during the Halloween season. As we inch closer to Halloween, we still have a few more haunt review episodes coming your way. Well, Halloween haunt, of course. There's haunts that happen not during Halloween, but they're mostly during Halloween, including our epic two-parter for Halloween Horror Nights Orlando that is coming your way very, very, very soon. All right, let's jump into this episode right now. Hey there, gang. I'm here with Roxy Tott,
the evil queen of the Creepy Kingdom.
And we are here to talk to you about Horror Made Here. This is Warner Brothers Studios' brand new Halloween event. This is the Festival
of Frights.
It was a festival,
as a matter of fact. It really was.
And so this is the third year that they've done this, but only the second year in this manner where they create, I want to call them haunt mazes, but they're a little different than the typical conga line maze.
I would not call them haunt mazes because I went into it expecting haunt mazes. That was not what I got. I mean, there's a couple, but no, there's more than that. And yeah, it's different than like Knott's or Universal or whatnot.
Yeah, it's a different thing. So the first year, 2 years ago, they didn't have anything like any mazes or anything like that. It was a paranormal tour of the studio. You went around with paranormal experts and they did a little ghost test or
that's or cool. Something. Okay, yeah. So was it like the normal studio tour, but
it wasn't the normal studio tour at all. It was done at night, and we were on the carts that they have for their tour, but we went to one spot where they thought there was a lot of paranormal activity, and they did their whatever they do test. Another part of that was we got to tour a prop house where strange things had happened. So a little ghost tourish kind of thing there.
Right on.
There was absolutely nothing that was created for the event. It was only 2 days when it first launched, but it was the first time that I'd been to Warner Brothers Studios. So I thought it was fun. And although no, but they had a room that's on the regular tour, but they had a few Halloween displays set up.
Neat. Okay.
Like something from The Conjuring was there. But that, again, I don't think that wasn't for the tour. I think they had it set up and then we got to check it out because it was that's what they had to offer. So the second year when we came back, they said they had these new experiences and we weren't sure what to expect last year, but all of a sudden we walked in, there's all these, there's mazes and things, experiences similar to haunts. Mm-hmm. But it was centralized in one location. It was, I don't know the name of the area that they call it, but it's a back lot of a small town where a lot of scenes from awesome movies were filmed. Like the end of the Monster Squad particularly, and several scenes from Monster Squad were filmed there.
That was awesome.
So that's cool. And they have a lot of houses around there. And last year, I don't know where it went because it moved this year, as we'll get to. It was replaced by another house. But last year, they had a house from Gremlins. And they actually had projections of Gremlins in the windows going, you know. So it was like nice little...
Cool. So it wasn't anything you could interact with, but it was neat to see it there.
Yeah, but the Gremlins thing, yeah. But they had some walkthrough experiences. They had the Niebold house from It, which was a pop-up attraction a month earlier on Hollywood Boulevard, which was sort of like a haunt, but you had a guide, and you kind of went into these different rooms, and then different scenarios would unfold. So it wasn't like you just keep walking and then actors jump out.
Yeah.
So yeah, they had that at Hollywood Boulevard. They brought that to the studio, and was probably what was the cause of them creating new things, because that Niebold House on Hollywood Boulevard was so popular.
Yeah, it was.
It was free, but you had to get tickets, and it sold out in like an hour. And it was before It even came out. It was like the house was there like a few weeks before the remake came out. So everyone just had.
Yeah, you didn't know what it meant, what it did, what it, anything, but it was the It House.
Yeah,
people were gonna go see it. We happened to be on Hollywood Boulevard when it was there, and the line to wait for it, because the people didn't buy tickets ahead of time, was like 3 hours long.
Oh, so they had standby, and mm-hmm. It was 3 hours. Yeah, wow. So yeah, I didn't experience it while it was there. I didn't even attempt. But yeah, so about a month after that, they brought it to Horror Made Here. And they had a few experiences, and I guess we'll talk about the one that's not back. Is they had a Nightmare on Elm Street experience, which Nightmare on Elm Street has had a lot of mazes at Halloween Horror Nights in the past, but this was like kind of going through a classroom, and it
like from number six.
It wasn't from anything.
Oh. Okay.
It was okay. It wasn't like super awesome or anything, but it was like, oh, okay. There's, you know, little Nightmare on Elm Street, you know? And I'm pretty sure that's the only thing that was not brought back that's here this year.
Okay.
I off the top of my head, I don't recall anything else. So yeah, so now I guess we can just get into this year. We've discussed everything.
I want to say that when you first put this on my calendar, when I first, you know, you first said that we were going to do this, I was super, super excited, because I was still under the impression that it was like it was 2 years ago, where it was very limited, and it was just a tour, and you got to see like costumes and props and like that kind of stuff, like they did with the Harry Potter one. Remember that one? Yeah, somebody did almost the same thing for Harry Potter, where it was kind of like a pop-up tour, and you got to see like...
When was this? I don't know what you're talking about.
A couple years ago, a few years ago. It was a while ago.
I know that there was an event for Fantastic Beasts at Warner Brothers Studio that we covered. Is that what you're talking about?
No, it was before. It was before you guys moved here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's what I was thinking. And then when I heard about the Warner Brothers tour last year, when I heard about it the first year you guys went, that's what I was thinking, is that it was still that kind of thing. And then someone mentioned something, could have been you, could have been Shannon. And I was like, oh, it's haunts. Okay, so it's not that. And this was literally like less than a month ago.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, it's haunts. Okay, so we're going to be walking through mazes. It's haunts. Got it. Neither way did I expect what they actually had.
Really?
Like, yeah. So I was like, totally. Because we go to a lot of these things, and a lot of times I don't like to look them up beforehand because I don't want to know like what I'm getting into. I want to be surprised and get that first impressions, you know, thing. But some of them, like the Exorcist, I had no clue. I thought it was a haunt when we got in line.
So you really didn't look any of this up. I attended and knew from their presentation at Midsummer Scream, where they literally gave a preview of everything that was coming. So I had a pretty strong understanding of what we were going to. But that must be a fun way to go to stuff.
It really is. A a lot of stuff that we do, or that you'll tell me, like, you know, we're going to go do this or whatnot in the past month. I've gone to look it up, and then I'm just like, you know what? No, I don't want to know. I want to be totally surprised. Halloween Horror Nights. I knew that there was a Stranger Things maze, and I knew that there was a Trick or Treat maze because that had been all over, you know, everything. I didn't know anything else that was going to be there.
Oh.
It's kind of awesome.
we definitely were posting that stuff, too, because we were getting all the press releases when they made announcements.
I don't know. I try really hard not to see things so that I can go into it not expecting anything.
Well, that's one way to do it.
Besides, I know that you aren't like that, so you'll already know everything that we're supposed to know, so I don't have to worry about it. I just follow you.
For the most part, I try to avoid spoilers and things of that nature, you know, for things that I'm going to do, so I don't know everything, but as far as what they've announced publicly, you know, I'm usually really pretty on top of that. But yeah, at Midsummer Scream, they just laid it all out. They literally said everything that was going to be at Horror Made here at Midsummer Scream. They were
nice.
The other haunts, you know, they trickle out the news.
Warner Brothers is like, we want to tell you everything, and we want you to tell everyone.
Right. And, you know, and then this was their first year being part of Midsummer Scream, and it seems like they went into the haunt business backwards. They didn't really intend to do it. They wanted to do something fun for Halloween, and it just kind of morphed into it. And their approach to making these things are not like haunters. They're like filmmakers. It's a completely different perspective on
very,
it.
Very, very much so.
So it's really refreshing, and it's different. It's definitely different enough from Halloween Horror Nights, which is they're literally miles apart from each other. And for years, Warner Brothers has licensed their properties to Halloween Horror Nights.
Mm-hmm. And now they don't anymore. Right.
Well, or I don't know if it's officially they don't, but I think it's kind of like.
But like this year at Halloween Horror Nights, there was no Freddy or Jason or any of that.
Right. And that last year in Hollywood, they had the Titans of Terror, which was Freddy, Jason, and Leatherface.
Yep, but no sign of them this year.
Yeah, so they're not.
Meanwhile,
there.
Meanwhile, go over to the WB lot, and there they are. Yeah.
Right. And I'm trying to think if there's any. I don't know. I don't think Poltergeist is in Warner Brothers. But last year they did Shining. Also, Universal has a relationship with Warner Brothers for licensing, you know, the Harry Potter attractions there as well. So that's not really going to conflict, but it's interesting. It's just interesting to see now that Warner Brothers has thrown their hat in the ring,
what they'll come up with next.
Yeah, or that Halloween Horror Nights is not going to have access. I don't think they're going to get in the theme park business, especially there.
No.
It's not. There's no room for anything like that.
Yeah, no, definitely not. That was one of the really cool things about it, though. I guess really cool, depending on how you look at it. I got hurt in between, you know, when we did Halloween Horror Nights and Knott's, and then when we did Horror Made Here. So the Horror Made Here is on a smaller lot, and there's less room to walk, and it's not all spread out, and I was really grateful for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think whether you're hurt or not, I think you're really grateful. Intimate space.
I'm just saying, if we had to do like Halloween Horror Nights after I hurt my foot, I might have complained a little bit more. But Warner Brothers is much smaller, and so it's all more compact and whatnot, and that's pretty cool because it's on like a set, like on a lot.
Yeah. It makes things a lot easier, and you know, be able to. I mean, you can literally just turn around and see every place you need to go.
Right.
All right. So yeah, let's hop into what they had there. We should. I feel like we should do a rundown of what they had and then go through it just to instead of. I'm sorry, you have a cat on your head.
Yep. Dana, what are you doing? Go on. Go. Alrighty.
It's like you didn't go to Horror Made Here, so you you can't be on the podcast.
No. Okay. All right. So we should do a little rundown of which mazes they had and then talk about how we felt about them.
And then the other little things they had there too, not just the mazes.
Well, their dark mazes for 2018 are You'll Float Too. It's their It.
Well, I think it's called It Knows What Scares You is the actual name of the maze.
Oh, It Knows What Scares You is the actual name of the maze.
Last year it was called the Niebold House. So I guess that's to show that it's not the same thing. And it was not the same thing. It was a complete new attraction from the ground up.
That makes sense. They have Arkham Asylum.
And that, of course, is the Joker's playground.
Yeah, domain.
Domain.
So yeah. And then they have the Conjuring Universe, the next chapter in the Conjuring Universe. All right. And then they have The Exorcist Forbidden Screaming. Screaming is forbidden in the church. The Exorcist Forbidden Screaming, which I don't think should be on this list, personally.
It's an attraction they had there. And
but this is dark mazes.
That's true. Whatever. Mazes. It's not a maze.
It's not a maze.
It's a forbidden
screening. So you guys know. And then they have Nightmare on Camp Crystal Lake, which is, we will totally get to that.
They had that. And then the other thing they had there was the bar from, it was supposed to be the bar from True Blood. What was it called again?
Mm-hmm. Fantasia.
Fantasia. The bar for vampires.
Yeah.
Not the bar that Sookie worked at.
No. It was awesome. It was hell of awesome. It didn't look a thing like Fantasia.
Like, it was like a satellite location.
Yeah, but they were playing the song and there were picture ops and like outside it was pretty cool.
And it definitely showed that's something that in the future, I don't know why. I think they could have done some kind of like maze of True Blood and they could do something with
it. Yeah, I don't see why not.
I mean, it's old, but so is Freddy and Jay.
Right?
Although I'm sure they're working on
it's still new movies. True Blood is definitely still a property that people, if you watched it, you love it.
Yeah.
You know, so when people, you could actually, there was a time when we were just kind of standing and hanging around and we were some of the first people to go in. And then other people were coming in behind us and whatnot. And you could see people's faces light up when they saw like the neon sign. And you could actually point out the True Blood fans like in the crowd.
Well, they had that. And the other thing that was promised was a Lost Boys arcade.
They obviously lost some boys before when they put up this arcade.
It was just an arcade. It wasn't
an arcade. There were no vampires. There was no Kiefer Sutherland. There was no nobody. Sad.
Yeah. Well, it was just an arcade. Again, Shana. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish.
You weren't there. You can't podcast. My cat really wants in on this podcast.
Anyways, I think that was it. I think they had some kind of like ride or something, where some carnival ride.
Yeah.
But what was really cool and different from even last year, you just kind of walked into the area and there was no like grand entrance. This year they built a grand entrance that was like twisted carnival themed.
Yeah, so I didn't really get that when we were there. It was cool. It was a carnival theme, or it was like circus themed. It was like circus themes. And then you went in and you've got like the stage where the DJ is, and it's got like a ringmaster, and like there's circus people walking around. Yeah, and I was like, okay, cool, creepy circus, but I wasn't sure what it connected to. But according to their website, it's a creepy carnival. Like the whole thing is supposed to be a creepy carnival. And their tagline is, "Can you smell the circus, Georgie?"
So the whole like kind of area we're in is a creepy carnival.
Yeah, or a creepy circus. Circus depending. Carnival. But yes, apparently it's supposed to like mesh, intertwine with it, which does kind of make sense for why his face was really big when we walked out on the wall. Walk through his mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, now it all makes a little more sense. It didn't seem to at the time, but now...
Like, it was the Twisted Circus Carnival that Pennywise came from.
Yes.
Theoretically.
Yes.
It's a loose association.
I believe that's what they're going for.
Okay. I was like, it's a stretch, but it's cool. Yeah. It was cool stuff. It seemed like that stuff was created just for the event. I mean, maybe it was props or something they had, but it was...
No clue. It was really neat, though.
It wasn't tied to any intellectual property or anything. So it was a cool way to start. I don't know if that's the way they started, even for everybody, because we were escorted there on a cart.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the way they loaded in everyone, because we were on, you know, preview night.
Yeah, it was preview night, media night, and so things were a little different.
Yeah. I don't know, but I mean, it's probably where it starts. I don't know.
But it was really cool. So if you went or if you go, we hope that you get to see some of the creepy circus outsideness.
Yep. All right. So let's get to the things. Right.
Right. Well, the first one on the list is the It Knows What Scares You house.
Yeah. So, brief synopsis. I guess I said it again. Last year, you go to the Niebold house, and you know, you go into a room, and crazy stuff happens, and then you leave the room, go to another room, some crazy stuff happens.
Kind of like another house, that they
right?
Had there.
Yeah, which we'll get to. And that was kind of the setup, and that's why I thought again that was unique. Very low capacity, hourly capacity with mm-hmm. that type of experience, but it really creates an intimate experience while you're having it. This was a little bit more of the traditional walkthrough maze that you'd see at another place, but I will say they kept pacing the line so that it was just small groups going through at a time.
Yeah, and that was really nice.
Yeah, like I think there was like maybe 8 of us total that were together. We were with strangers, obviously.
Yeah, you know? I mean, there were a couple, but they were like, but it was really, really small. We could all easily fit into the rooms. I wonder if they still do that though, now that it's open to the public and, you know, on crazy busy nights and whatnot, if they still pace it or if they just let everybody
well,
in.
That particular maze is can handle the nonstop things. It did have jump scares, which a lot of their mazes don't.
No, they don't.
That's the other reason why they're not like other places.
It was interesting, though. It almost felt like the first part of the It maze and the second part of, or the, of, yeah, the It maze and the second part of the It maze were different.
Well, you're in different places.
Yeah, because like you start in the house and you walk through the house. Cool, you go through the living room.
And it's not the Niebold house. I don't know. No, it's definitely not.
No, it's George and Bill's house.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, you walk through their living room and then you walk through Georgie's room and then you walk through the kitchen and then you go outside. And then you enter another place, and it kind of reminded me of the Haunted Mansion, where one person designed the beginning and one person designed the end.
Oh, you feel like it has a different vibe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it had a totally different vibe, because the second building was a very traditional, like, haunt maze with, you know, room setups and pop scares and
right
stuff like that.
Which house had the recreation of the amazing scene with the girl in the bathroom where blood splits everywhere?
That was the first one.
Yeah, that was... I'd never seen anything like that in a haunt. The way they simulated blood spraying everywhere.
Cool. It's so well done. Like, I know I didn't want to leave. I wanted to look at all of the stuff, and I'm pretty sure that you felt the same way. And I know that like Shannon felt the same way, because we were very slow to leave this room.
Yeah. We were just like, whoa, that is cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And I think the other highlight of this was, I think this was in the second house, was the space where Pennywise keeps his his floating children.
Yes. That was awesome. Yeah, I felt like it starts in Georgie and Bill's house, and then you go out. And I mean, you do physically, you go into another space, but I think also storyline, you go into another space. Because I think then you're headed down, like, into the sewers.
Yeah.
So, and there was, like, a couple of more rooms, and then sewers, and then, yeah, that float room is really cool.
And that was a room that, yeah, that was, to me, that was the highlight of the maze. That's kind of, when you see stuff like that, you're like, oh, this is for real. Like, this wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like we're like, oh, they really meant this. They really, you know, they really put the effort in.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. It looked really cool. That the blood room and the floating room, a lot of time and a lot of effort went into those rooms.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, we walked through it, and we got to walk through it slowly, and there were only a few of us because it was media night. But I'll still see people post pictures from that room in particular, and I'm like, where was that? I don't remember seeing that.
Really?
Just different, you know, because the piles, and there's so much stuff. And like, yeah. So I'm still seeing things online that I didn't see while we were there.
Yeah, so clearly that this maze has a lot of repeatability to it.
Yes. This is one of those mazes, though, that you don't even... Like, you want to walk through it for the scares and to have fun and whatnot, but then you just want to go back and, like, hang out, you know, and look at all the details.
Like, yeah, it's just so immersive. It's like, so,
there's a scare as you're walking down the hallway. It is in front of you. It is very obvious that it is going to be a scare, the balloon.
Mm.
You know what's going to happen. Like, you know it's going to be a scare. You know what it is. But it went off, and the person next to me jumped.
Right.
So it was pretty cool.
They're probably looking at something else.
Yeah, it was really neat.
So, I think this was the best one there.
Agreed.
And as I told you the other day, I've been hearing from various people that another maze was their favorite, unanimously.
Yeah, and that was not our favorite. But it was our first.
It was our first. Yeah. So, I mean,
we'll talk about
we
that
could
next.
Jump to that, sure.
Yeah, oh, hey, look, it's next on the list.
Now, this is Arkham Asylum. The way that this was pitched didn't really match to me what we got.
Okay.
Because the way that it was pitched was that, you know, you're a prisoner, or the Joker's taking over Arkham Asylum. And he's going to trap you in there, and you have to fight to get your way out, or whatever terminology they use. It made it seem like it was like really intense.
Okay.
You know, and intense is not what I would describe this experience at all. To me, this wasn't really a maze. I thought it was fun. I mean, a maze like a traditional haunt.
Yeah.
Like they had, this was various encounters with the villains of Gotham.
What did I call it when we were there? A Gotham villain meet and greet.
Well, sort of, but you don't get to meet them. Don't get to meet them. There's no pictures.
But that is very much what it felt like.
It could be. It literally could be like you go to each room and there's a line
and you can just take a picture with the villain. I want to point out, we did this one twice.
Yes.
It was our very first thing that we did earlier in the night as soon as it opened. We were literally the first group in.
We were the first to experience this ever.
Yeah. And then we went we went through it again at the end of the night because we had someone with us who hadn't done it. And I'm really, really glad that we went through it again at the end of the night, because I feel like we got a much better idea of what it was supposed to be like, as opposed to that first walkthrough that I don't even know what happened there. We walked out and I was like, what was that? So definitely not what I was expecting.
I don't have the same view of you, because I feel like there was pros and cons to each, to the different times we went through. what's cool is, you know, and I'm not going to be a play-by-play here of the maze, but what I liked about it, you know, we started off and we're being checked into Arkham by Harlene Quinzel. You know, the nurse before she turns into Harley Quinn. And
she was a doctor.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's totally sexist.
There's male nurses. You're being sexist now. No.
All right, so Dr. Harley checks us in.
She's a doctor? I don't know. I thought she was a nurse. I legitimately thought she was a nurse, okay?
No, she's a doctor. My goodness.
All right, anyways. She's checking us in, whatever that entailed. And Shannon was closest to her and said to her, "My boyfriend loves you." And as far as I could tell, she pretty much had no response to that.
None.
And I thought that was a real missed opportunity.
Especially if you are playing someone like Harley.
Yeah.
You know, but we were literally the first people through this house. Yeah. So we were the first group that she came in contact with. You know, she's probably sitting there going over her lines in her head over and over and over again. And then Shannon's got to throw her a curveball. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the first people in. "My boyfriend loves you."
But no, she didn't react at all. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, she just, yeah. I mean, just, I was expecting some, because once you're going to talk to the characters or talking to you, you expect them to respond to you in character.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she could have easily, because she wasn't playing Harley, she was playing, you know, whatever her actual name is.
Harlene Quinzel. Yeah, I don't know, I just made that up.
But she wasn't playing, so even something as simple as, well, we have a cure for that, or, yeah. You know, anything at all, but, oh well.
Anyways, you know, you face the Joker as he's taken over Arkham, and he's created this judge's desk made out of turned over desk and all this crap and garbage.
Yeah, this like very tall, giant bench, like judge's bench. Yeah, that's called. Yeah,
I think that's what. Yeah, the bench. Yeah, approach the bench. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So Judge Joker is sentencing you to a stay in Arkham Asylum because you have been found guilty of being too sane.
Yeah.
So you have to hang out in Arkham until you are crazy, and then he'll let you go, I guess.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Well, he never said he would let us go.
Well, but at the end, they're very much like, go!
Well, that's because Batman opened, like, got an exit for us. That's why the bat signal or battery, there's all this Batman stuff at the end of the maze.
Yeah, I was so confused.
He broke us out. There was no Batman actor there.
No,
but
there wasn't, which is why when we walked by the Batman thing, I was like, why is this even in here? Like, whatever. And then I walked out.
Batman broke us out of Arkham.
That makes way more sense. Because all I could remember was Harley at the end in her little nurse's costume being like, okay.
You mean doctor's costume?
No, that was a nurse's costume. She started as a doctor. She ended up as a nurse. Okay. But yeah, you walk through and there's different scenes with all of the different Batman villains. And some of them are really cool.
Yeah, I mean, but then I said when we went through twice, some were there one time that weren't the other times.
I thought I was crazy.
No, you're not.
I did, because we walked through the first time and we got out and I was like, oh, okay, that was, you know, kind of. And then I was thinking to myself, where was Poison Ivy? Because she's my favorite. She's my favorite Batman villain, right? That's so weird that they would have it without Poison Ivy. You know, okay, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But then we went through the second time.
And she was there.
And there she was. What was in that room the first time we went through?
Nothing, I guess, because I don't even remember.
Was it just black? Like, was it just a dark room? I totally don't remember. But I feel like it would have been really hard to hide that giant plant.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Poison Ivy, is, I would say, is my favorite, too. it would have been a more accurate statement for Shannon to tell Poison Ivy that I love her.
Right.
I do like Harley. I mean, I like all the female Batman villains. You know, speaking of which, who wasn't in there at all?
Catwoman.
It was Catwoman, yeah.
Yeah. No. Apparently, she doesn't get locked up at Arkham.
No.
Maybe because she's not... No, that wouldn't be it. She wasn't there. Catwoman's not there, but Harley's there, and if you catch them on a good day, then Poison Ivy is also there.
Well, also, the first time I walked through one of the scenes, Riddler was there. The second time, he was not.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that he wasn't there the second time. Because he had him in such a weird place.
He had him in a weird place, and he actually gave us a riddle.
Yeah.
So he'd, like, stop the line.
Yeah.
Like, so there was, like, a hold up of the line.
Yeah, Two-Face had a whole room scene built for him. Poison Ivy was the same way. Penguin was the same way. But Riddler was just walking the hallway.
Yeah.
Like, interesting.
So, Riddler's walking the hallway. The Two-Face scene was probably one of the most confusing ones to me. And we're just going to assume, I mean, we're pretty much saying what this is.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We're not dancing around it. You go into that space and there's like a 60s go-go dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Two-Face is in a cage behind her. I didn't understand why that was happening. I thought it was cool. The 60s go-go dancer there?
So you go in. Now, picture this room. It's a U-shaped, okay? So you go in, and you've got this, like you said, 60s go-go dancer and neon and whatnot on your right-hand side. And you've got Two-Face on your left-hand side. And he's in the middle, and he's like in a cage, and it goes along the long part of the U. So you walk down past him. You make the little U. There's a really cool chair sitting there.
It's like half burnt.
Yeah, it's half burnt and half not. It's a really cool effect. And then you walk up the other side. So now you're on the other side of Two-Face. And what you have to notice is that on the go-go dancer side, there's neon signs that say love. And on the other side, there's a neon sign that says hate. And it's darker on that side. So where the when you walk in, it's that bright like green and like black light and whatnot. On the other side, it like the tones got darker.
I mean, if you turn around and look at the dancer from the other side.
No. I mean on the other side of
the room.
Yeah.
It looked different from the... I didn't even notice that at all.
So the wow. Coloring looked different. And then also the only thing that was over there was a stripper pole. You know, because the go-go dancer had a pole.
Right.
So on that side, there was a stripper pole and there was a dead body on it that had been impaled on the stripper pole.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. I didn't know what that was supposed to... That was
Two-Face, love and hate.
That was this... You know, that went over my head completely.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I didn't notice Batman, so we're even.
Cool.
Right on.
I'm like, I don't know why there's a go-go dancer here, but...
Yeah, that's...
You know, that was... I was like, yeah, go-go dancers, sure.
Let's that's what it was. It was love and hate. And then she's alive and she's happy and she's dead. And yeah. Good old Two-Faced. I don't know how he did it because the whole time you're walking, he complains about how he can't get out of his cage.
Right, but one of the cool things he did, which you might have missed, because I feel like no one was around me when I saw this, is that he had something that sparked up against the gate.
I saw that, yeah. Yep. Yep, that was really cool.
I thought that was a cool effect. And then we go through a morgue. I'm not sure what that had to do with anything.
Nope.
But the first time we went through, someone came out of one of the drawers.
It was we're just giving spoilers, right?
Sure.
The last row of drawers against like the wall.
Yeah.
That whole thing was a door.
Oh, I didn't see it happen. I just heard it happen.
Yeah.
I heard people screaming.
I saw it happen. But it happened behind me, so like I was already in the doorway leading out, so I had to turn around. But yeah, that whole column of drawers is a door that opens up and somebody comes out.
Okay. I thought someone was coming out of a drawer. Either way, that didn't happen the second time because I wanted to wait because I didn't see it the first time. And I think that's pretty much it besides the end. The end was interesting because we had two different experiences the time we went. You encounter the Joker the first time, and then there's like two paths you could take.
Mm-hmm.
One looked like a funhouse type thing, and the other one looked like tattered rags or curtains. And the first time you could go either way. The second time you had to go the curtains way. They weren't allowing you to go through the funhouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know why. So the first time the Joker is there by himself saying this. And then once you go through the tattered rags or the other side, you end up in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And Harley is waiting for you there. And I don't even remember. She said whatever she said. She talked about giving someone a needle or.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But that was kind of like she was the last villain or that you encounter. But the second time, she was with the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting because I'm like, I thought, like, you know, she really kind of finalized and closed the maze out, being like, all right, you got line up. All right, who's going to get, especially since she's the first character that you encounter.
Yeah. But no.
But then,
the Joker.
But then she was just with the Joker, just doing nothing. So I'm not sure what is the real ending of.
Don't know.
Arkham. So I thought it was fun. It was not what I was expecting it to be. It's definitely fun encountering the Gotham villains. You know, I was expecting a scarier experience.
I wasn't expecting anything, but when I saw Arkham, you know, when we walked up and I saw it just from the look of it and from the fact that it is Arkham Asylum and whatnot, I expected something way creepier too. I thought, like, you know, a normal haunt maze, like through, you know, a creepy asylum type thing.
Like, yeah, like you would see asylum like
yeah
things. There was nothing really asylum like to the
The Joker had obviously had taken over this place like a couple of weeks ago. He was able to totally redecorate.
Right.
Bring all of his friends props for their like rooms and whatnot. Not let them out, mind you. That would be, you know.
No.
So,
and if you haven't done it yet, we skipped a few things that happened that are still fun. We're not like literally beat by.
Yeah. No. But it was really cool. I think it's really funny that when I tell people that there's a Batman haunted house though at Horror Made Here, they're like the look. And people are like, what? How? You're like, oh, it's the villains. Yeah, but how? I've gotten that so many times. So go see it because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think that this Batman villains Arkham Asylum maze could work in a traditional sense and have people scare actors have you know to be but like I said I the way that it sounded, it really sounded like it was not even just going to be a regular haunt, that it was going to be like almost immersive, like that you had to like figure out like how to get out and
so almost like escape roomy but
a little
not
bit
not, quite.
Yeah, you're not
and
super,
like I think that would be super cool, and I think that going down the whole like actual asylum path would be really cool. But there was just something about walking through and seeing each of these villains like in their own scenes, you know, that was very like, okay. But it really did feel like a meet and greet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they had their scenes behind them. They had their props and went with each character. There was no like over.
There wasn't a continuing, decoration for lack of
asylum remember. Theme.
Yes, to say the least. Maybe there was there and we missed it, but
maybe
I don't know. But I feel like we've got talked too long on this one, so
probably. Okay, so the next one is the Conjuring universe, and this is what we were talking about earlier, where this house, you actually walk in a small group, you stop in a room. Some things happen, and then you walk to the next room.
Right. So before we get to this, this was essentially the same exact experience I had last year, except they added on a new beginning. And basically, you're going into the Warren's house of the Conjuring, the people that.
Which is, in my opinion, like that's the coolest part of the Conjuring. So.
And then you get to go into the room where they. They have all their artifacts, and I forget what movie that is in.
It's the first one.
Is okay.
Yeah, they show the house in the first one.
With all the collection and stuff. Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
At the end of the first one. All right. And that's when you see Annabelle for the first time.
Right. Yeah. It's movies are a blur to me, or what happened when. But I know that you definitely see this room in the movies. So, that was cool to have that, and there was definitely like. This thing started happening. The things that Roxy can't stand, apparently. But to me,
it's not.
I just, you don't see it anywhere else. You're like, I mean, just think of the logistical nightmare of having to keep resetting
in a real haunt, in like a normal haunt. Okay, yeah. It's not that I can't stand it. What James is referring to is things falling off the wall. Okay, that is what James is referring to. And towards the end of the night, I said that if you are a fan of things falling off walls, then Horror Made Here is the place for you, because they use that same theme repeatedly in different places and different houses and whatnot. And I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it's probably like, oh, it's like, if you're a fan of things falling off walls.
I feel like the stuff falling off walls trick. I feel about that the same way that I feel about like the very end pop scare at Halloween Horror Nights that they do. You know, at the end of the maze, you've got that one that's like right in front of you.
Yeah,
it's really cool the first time. It's kind of cool the second time, but if you use it too much, it's just okay. Right on. Look, that thing fell off the wall.
I mean, I don't think there's not that much stuff there for them to overuse it. I would say being in that room and things falling down, which, you know, science and physics will make it, you know, not do the same thing every time it falls. And also you feel like something theoretically could have fallen on you.
Yes.
So I'm not quite sure logistically how they do that, but that whole first experience, that was the new addition for this year, was a lot of fun. So last year, this was my highlight. This was one of my favorite things that I did, because the experience, like I said, of going into a space and watching things unfold was pretty unique.
Yeah, because it's not like your normal haunt walkthrough, boo.
Right. You know. And it's also, you're in these spaces, and a lot of them you're like, where, like, they seem like you're in, like, dead ends. You're like, mm-hmm. So before we kind of talk about this, I could say that my experience going to this house, the other part of the house after the room, this year was not as good as the first year, and it had to do with timing, because the first year I went through, the timing was perfect on everything that happened.
That was certainly not true when we went through.
No.
And again, you know, it was preview night. It's these people's dress rehearsal. And, like, if you do theater or anything, you understand that dress rehearsal is not going to be perfect. But
don't forget, my first time was also...
Oh, that's true. Your first time the year before was preview night. So, yeah. No, they were just lacking a little bit.
I don't know if they purposely made the experience rushed because the capacity is so low. Because that's what I really seemed like. It seemed like it was being rushed through things. And I don't remember that feeling the last time. And for example, there's one part where I'm walking down the hallway and then something comes out of the wall at you.
Mm-hmm.
That legitimately, like, got me. like I jumped and did a like, ah. And this year, I feel like there was too many people, and he jumped out at before the first person got there, and then everybody saw it, so there was no no real scare there.
This is one of those houses that I would like Arkham I would like to go back through again. Because, like, there were, you know, there were a few issues. Like, one of the, I feel like one of the reasons that it felt so rushed is because we had to wait so long to get in. You know, so we get in there, and the line wasn't long. So we walked right in, and we're in the, like, front room of this house with the, you know, eight other people or however many other people. Mm-hmm. And then we just stood there for, like, what, 15 minutes or something
at
like
least,
that.
At least, yeah.
And this huge line is growing outside. And you can't go anywhere because there's a closed door in front of you. And, like, the people, the, like, clickers who are doing the line keep coming and looking in the window. Like why are you guys still here? Like,
so there was some kind of issue that they couldn't let us into the room.
The lady who, what's her name? Warren. Mrs. Warren. Remember, she actually walked in the front door and walked past us and was like, excuse me, I live here. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And then she went through the door and closed behind her, and we're like, is that part of the show? Like, we were so confused. But no, I think it was either a shift change, or maybe, I don't know, maybe the actress had to go to the bathroom or something, but I think that was the holdup, is that she wasn't there. And then for some reason, she came in the front door.
That's weird. Why would she go in the front door?
I have no idea.
Because clearly, that's not the only way to get
right
there. Or maybe it is. But
I don't know. But yeah, she walked through, and at first I thought that it was like it was part of the thing. But then thinking back later, I realized it was absolutely not part of the thing. So that had to be it. Why we waited so long. And then, yeah, after that, it felt kind of rushed, you know, but we had stood there for hell of long. There was this huge line outside now. Like,
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were trying to rush things along. And so things that got to play out just happened fast. Like, there's a scene in the kitchen where things start going crazy, and essentially it looks like it's possessed, and it really looks like a scene out of, like, Paranormal Activity or something. But particularly there's a scene in the kitchen where all the shelves open and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we had a moment to kind of assess your surroundings and be in there. I feel like as soon as we entered that room, that started happening.
Yeah.
And that may have been a choice they made just, like, after that original night, just, like, you know, just to keep the...
Mm-hmm. Keep it going.
Keep it going. The one thing that they did, which... They did it last year, and it got me, and it still got me again, is, you know, you go from the first house to a second house, so you have to go outside again to get to the inside of the house. And then when we got there, I noticed that there was, like, this other woman that was there that... I didn't remember seeing before.
That part was horrible. Horrible.
Why was that horrible?
Because, so we walk out the back door of the place to go outside, and she's literally, she's dressed like a, you know, quote unquote normal person, and she's literally standing outside the door, like standing right outside the door.
I didn't see her.
I did. She was right there. And like, and then we walk, and then she starts walking with us. And it's like, we're not supposed to notice this, like, stranger who just happened to be sitting outside this door and happened to be waiting for us and now happens to be walking with us. Like, I can see how that would work in, like, a fuller group where you, like, don't know all of the people you're in the room with, but we were a very small group, and it was very obvious that there was another person with us who wasn't there before.
I mean, it got me, because to me, I just thought, since everything was all off and everything, that somehow we switched and we were merging with another group. I really didn't think that much of it,
to be honest. That is hell of not what I thought. So when we get into the next room, the girl, who is very obviously a plant... You know, it's one of those rooms where it doesn't look like there's a way out. And so you're like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen. Well, then, you know, something happens to her. And you're like, well, of course it did.
But it was about that. But it got me, because I was like, oh, it got me again. Because first I'm like, I don't, like, who's this girl? That's all I can remember.
James and I are very perceptive in very different ways.
It's a fun play. I've heard of... in another haunt at a Halloween Horror Nights haunt, the one that I didn't get to go through in Orlando one year. I think it was a purge, one of the many purge haunts I've done, where someone was talking about it, podcast. I think it was UOP. I don't remember. But that a girl came up to him and said, "Hey, I got separated from my friends. Do you mind if I just? I'm not trying to cut. I just want to, you know, keep
nice.
Going." And then she's like, "You know, yeah, whatever, sure." And then they turn the corner, and then one of the purge persons grabs them and slits her throat.
Cool. See, that's cool because at least then it explains where she comes from,
right.
And why she's there, and why you don't know her. But this house also had another missed opportunity where Shannon made a comment to one of the actors in the house, and there was no response either.
What was that?
In the room with all the collection stuff. So it's Mrs. Warren, and she gives you this little...
That's not Mrs. Warren in that room. That's somebody else.
Oh, no. She like a tour guide?
Yeah, or something.
I don't know.
She's not somebody from the movies, but she's like...
Oh, well, she was dressed...
She works there.
Terribly. And so I could only assume... I've only seen the first Conjuring, which is how I know that room is in it. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen it since it was in theaters. So I just assumed that with that tacky outfit on, it was like a costume from... because it matched the timeline or whatnot. But anyways, this lady is giving you this little kind of welcome speech into this room and telling you not to touch anything. She tells you not to touch anything about 20 times in the very short time that she's talking. And then when things start to rattle, she looks at someone and says, "What did you touch?"
Right.
But in the scene, you walk through the room and Annabelle's case is there and it's empty. And she's like, "And this is Annabelle, blah, blah, blah." And she goes, "Oh, my God, where's Annabelle?" Well, Annabelle's on the other side of the room. You see her when you walk in. And Shannon goes, "She's over there," and points to where Annabelle is.
Really?
Yes. And the lady just totally ignored it. And I was like, "Hurry, hurry, it's time to leave the room." Like, but I was like, man, like, really? Like, nothing, no... Not like Shannon never even said a word.
Interesting.
And I was like,
I mean, yeah, they're just they haven't lived in their characters long enough there, and they might not allow them to improv. That might be an instruction.
It might be. That'd be so weird because you're interacting with all of these people. Like,
yeah,
at
it
some
seems,
point,
it seems very intimate.
Yeah.
And immersive.
Right? Yeah, but that was one of the ones that I noticed, like the Harley one, where there was just nothing. Shannon gave her a line and they're just nothing. So
she's like, "No, you gotta get out of here." Yeah, well, you know. But yeah. Hopefully they work out the kinks, because I think it's a great concept of a house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my favorite of last year, and I'm not like super attached to the IP or anything, so it's not like because I'm a super huge Conjuring fan,
right.
But it was cool, and yeah, this felt a little rushed, but I'd say hopefully it worked out the kinks.
So. Yeah, well, and I mean it's Warner Brothers house, so it had cool props and cool lighting, and you know. They do all that stuff.
Yeah, it was,
so
I mean,
it was still really neat.
It was still really immersive. I mean,
yeah.
I think the timing was off on things that were happening to us.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, so what's next? We got
The Exorcist Forbidden Screaming.
Not screaming. So this is a church. They have this screening in a church, over, you know, not a real church. This is actually the church from the end of Monster Squad that Dracula opens the vortex and on the outside of the stairs. I'm sure it's in other things that
yeah,
they mentioned.
He said there were a few other things it was in, but nothing was as cool as Monster Squad.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So whatever. You know, it's a church on that use in movies. But they didn't really say exactly what it was going to be. My thoughts were I've done a few other things like this at different haunts where one was Friday the 13th, other was nothing, I don't know, just some random thing, but it's like a 4D movie where every time somebody gets killed and they cut him with knife or machete. They you get sprayed with water.
Yeah, okay.
That was kind of what I was expecting this to be.
Well, I thought it was a walkthrough haunt.
So that's totally off.
Literally until I got inside and saw the screen.
So my thoughts were on this were it was about 10 minutes maybe. Mm-hmm. And they were showing scenes from The Exorcist. And I'd say up until about 7 minutes into it, it wasn't really super entertaining to me. But when, I don't, just using seven arbitrarily, I wasn't keeping track.
That's okay.
But once it hits that point, things start happening that I kind of interpreted it as they made the beginning so uneventful.
So the stuff that happened at the end had more of an impact.
Yeah. I do think that the scenes that they chose to show from The Exorcist weren't the most awesome scenes from the movie.
Also, it's because the, you know, it's not a haunt, it's an experience. It's a screening. But because it takes so long, waiting to go in takes a long time.
Yeah, so you like, got to go through the whole screening. Yeah,
yeah. So it's not a walkthrough, but you know, you're standing up there in line and you are waiting and you are waiting and you're in. Even if there's really no line, which when we got in, it was a short line, but it took a really long time to get in, obviously because of how long the experience takes. But like on one hand, I feel like you're so grateful to go in and sit down and like just be able to rest for a little bit. And on the other hand, I feel like that first part where it's like super uneventful, you're just like, I waited for this.
Right, because you don't know. You're like, this is what we're doing. You're like, oh, I mean, well, that's part of the gamble. You don't. You literally don't know what you're doing.
No, I don't have a clue. So you kind of my thing.
You got to take the good with the bad. But one of your favorite things happened there as it's going. Lots of things fell off the wall. But what started happening, which was cool, which I was a few rows back from you guys. I was sitting with Sabina. And but there was like lights that are above us that were not above you guys. And those started flickering and moving.
I literally picked the worst seat in the church. I just want you to know that.
Why do you think that?
Okay, well, because I was right underneath the air conditioner vent. And I mean right underneath. Not like it was blowing in different directions. No, it was blowing straight down. So you remember the part where like everyone got kind of cold?
Yeah.
It was like that the whole time.
Okay.
Okay. So me, who has hot flashes and is never cold, was I was wishing I had a sweater. So there was that. So that totally distracted me. But because that's where the air conditioner was, those lights weren't there. And there were some effects that I like were off. Like I was seeing what they were trying to do, but it was like the angle was just
wrong. Off, it was off angle for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that I chose the worst seat in there.
I guess so. So don't sit in the second row. Is that where you were?
It was the third row, and the pew was actually cut in half. I thought it was a long pew, and I could just scoot all the way down. I sat down and scooted, and it turns out there's a wall in between that, right in the middle of that pew.
That's weird.
Right? Which is why you and Sabina had to sit further back, because there was nowhere to go. So.
But essentially, as things go crazy on screen, you know, Reagan kind of shows up inside of the church, and that was just such a jarring, different vibe from the beginning of it that I thought it was a lot of fun.
I think if you were sitting in the very front row or right where you and Sabina were, like that would have been super cool. Like, but I don't know, from where I was, again, like right in the middle, yeah. You know, there was no danger, no harm, no like surprise, no nothing, because I was just
right. And where we were, like, essentially she kept showing up, it would like be pitch black, and then she would, there'd be like a flashlight strobe, like chaos. She was basically popping up all around the theater really fast. So it was mm-hmm. obviously different people. And one of those places was literally right in front of me and Sabina.
If I saw it again, I think I'd actually want to sit in the back. so that I could really see the whole.
You could see that. You could
church.
See that when the lights started swaying and moving, you know, like all that kind of stuff. So that was my takeaway from it. It wasn't like any of those other things. Like I said, they didn't. Nope. I honestly thought we were going to spray us with stuff when she vomits in the movie.
Yeah, I was a little worried about that. Actually, I'm not even going to lie. I was a little worried, but no, it was cool. You could sit down, and that's nice.
Yes, it was quite nice.
Don't do it first. Do it later in the night when you need a break.
Right. You're like, oh, I need to take a load off here.
Apparently, James really does need to take a load off. All right. So there was one more. We got one more that we went through.
Yes.
And that is the Nightmare on Camp Crystal Lake.
Right. So this was pitched as some kind of hybrid of Jason and Freddy.
Yes.
It was not pitched as Jason versus Freddy.
No.
Which is a maze Halloween Horror Nights has had several times. So it was not that.
And that, I mean, that obviously, if you're going to put Freddy and Jason in the same place, that is what makes the most sense. 100%.
They seem to be getting along, though.
Yeah, they seem to be getting along really well in this maze. They were obviously not versus. It was very much we're both going to hang out. Apparently, Freddy decided to move to the woods and hang out at Camp Crystal Lake.
Yep.
So that's interesting. He took his house with him, though. Or a house. He took an Elm Street house with him.
There was a house... that was on fire.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be Freddy's house. You know how they burned him?
Yeah.
Like I really don't know. I was so like okay, so
we should also preface this by saying as soon as this is separated from that area, I had to take a tram.
Yeah. So there. You're like you get on the tram. And it's like, hey, campers.
Like you're going to camp.
Yeah, like you're going to camp. And so the tram driver is your little camp counselor tour guide. And so she takes you kind of through the backlot on the tram. And she tells you little, like, things that were filmed there and stuff like that. And you're like, okay, we're on our way to camp. And we're getting a little Warner Brothers, you know, tour ride on. Cool.
Right.
And then you get down to where it is and she's like, okay, you know, hope to see you soon or whatever, and you are at Camp Crystal Lake. And this part of it, in my opinion, was super cool because you get off the tram and you are at Camp Crystal Lake. You are no longer on the Warner Brothers back lot. You are in the woods, like, and it's just a totally different experience.
Yeah.
So I thought that part was hella cool. What I didn't think was cool is the lady who was standing there as we went in and said, just so you guys know, we're not finished yet.
Basically, this is a preview.
And okay.
I feel like that information should have been said like before we even got on the tram, not after that totally immersive experience that you just described. Because it just takes you right out of it, right?
Yeah, it did. And she's like, okay, just want you guys to know this is a preview and we are not fully completed yet. Okay, have fun.
But I'm glad it was mentioned at some point.
Yes. Yes.
Because I would have thought there's a whole lot of lulls in this, which could be interpreted in different ways. It could be like, wow, there was a whole lot of stuff where nothing happened. Or we really felt like you went on a journey adventure.
At one point, I ended up alone. Okay, you walk through with this tram, but and you know there's the people. James was there, Shannon was there, the people I was with were there. And at one point, I know it was because I stopped to like take pictures of Freddy in his burning house, but I turned around and there's no one there, no one behind me, no one in front of me. I was all alone. And also, there are no lights back there. This was the darkest.
Yeah, that was super dark. You had to wait for your foot, like your foot, you had to wait for your eyes to really adjust to how, like.
Yeah, and especially as media, because we're going through taking photos. So we're barely even really looking around us. We're looking, you know, through our cameras and whatnot. But it was so dark, and I'm walking, and I realize I'm totally alone. And I could have morphed into an actual horror movie and would have never known it because I was just totally alone. And I'm like walking, I'm like, oh, wow, this is kind of messed up. Right on. This is creepy. And then I look and there's a dead body next to me. And I was like, ooh, me, dead body. And so I ran up and took a picture, you know. But this, it's so immersive. It's like, even when you walk into the houses, you know that you're in a house, in a haunted house, or in, you know, whatever. Right. But this was so different. You're outside, and it really is trees everywhere. And, like, the first scene that you come up to is awesome. It's, like, a pool, and there's a camp counselor, and, like, hella fog, and Jason's off in the distance, and then, like, he comes close, and it's just so cool that it just totally puts you in the mood.
Yeah. No, immersive is the word to describe this, for sure. And so essentially, you walk up this dirt path where there's a whole lot of nothing, but as Roxy said, when you're by yourself, it just kind of simulates walking in the woods, which is pretty creepy with
creepy.
No lights.
In the dark. With no lights in the dark.
I'd imagine that there's a lot more encounters with Jason during that part in their full.
It's very possible. There was an actor. Like, there was an actor there. They didn't try to scare me. Like, I went over, and I'm like, ooh, dead body. And so I went over to take a picture of the dead body, and I took a picture, and I'm, like, looking at it. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I look around, and there's a person just standing there. And I was like, oh, hey.
Like, who dressed as what? Like, what?
Nothing. Like a kid. Yeah, oh. A victim. Sorry. Oh, okay. Like a victim. Yeah, and I was like, hey. And he just smiled. And I was like, all right, then. Bye. It's nice to meet you. Like,
good to see you.
I don't know what's going on here.
So eventually you encounter a cabin.
Yes.
And you enter the cabin.
Which, for True Blood fans, is Merlot's
yes.
bar.
I was going to say, you go in the back, but and then we exit the front. On the first tour where we drove around and did all that stuff, they drove us by that cabin from the front and said this is that, and then some actor came out. I forgot about that. That was the most like immersive thing. No, you know what it was? It was last year. They had a tour, a nighttime tour of the studio, and they'd had some scenes acted out on the sets.
Neat.
Like the what happened to Baby Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Like this year they said this is where it was shot. Last year, they actually had the scene like from the movie play out with the actors.
Neat.
So they had some vampire or something come out of there. It wasn't like a real full True Blood, but and that's why I clearly remember. I'm like, oh, okay, that's the True Blood bar.
Well, I was, I walked up to the cabin, and there is someone stopping people from going into the cabin so that it is better paced, which is really cool. There's also a security guard standing, you know, a little ways over in the trees, which also cool, right? Not in the middle of the scene. That's awesome. And then there's a dead body like stuck up on a tree. And since there's a little line, I decided to go take a picture of the dead body stuck up on the tree. And the very nice security guard turns on her mag light and shines it on the dead body for me so that I can take a better picture. And I'm like, on one hand, good looking out. And on the other hand, don't do that.
Why?
But it just ruined the whole ambiance of the scene.
I gotcha,
but yeah, and the cabin was really cool.
The cabin had some a few cool, like really cool moments to me.
It did, and I don't even want to talk about them because I don't want to give them away because they're so cool.
All right, I just want to say one thing, which I had never seen in a haunt. That I was like, this is again where Warner Brothers. Brings something to the table that no one else has. You enter a room where there's like a whole bunch of hanging dead bodies.
Mm-hmm. They're all like tied up hanging from the ceiling.
Right. And you know, you have to move them out of the way.
Which is a totally normal haunt thing.
Yeah.
So we're used to it.
But at the end there's one of them. It wasn't an actor attached.
That is literally one of the things that I was not going to give up.
I don't even care.
Because it was so cool. Oh, my God.
Dude, that was so awesome. I got to give props for that.
Oh, my God. So one of these bodies hanging from the ceiling is a real person. And they're hanging there like they're dead, like all the other bodies. And you walk by and they're like, help me. And she moves. And it was so good. Oh, so good.
I mean, I can't keep. I was like, that was like when I see something like that, it's so simple. I mean, I guess it's simple. I don't know how they were achieving it. I didn't even have time to. Once I saw it was a real person, I was trying to comprehend how it was happening, but I didn't have time to figure it out as we were walking through there. But I was like,
no, but it was really good. It was really like,
wow,
good.
That is awesome.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, you have a few more. I know you encounter Freddy again, and. Mm-hmm. And you walk through where a bunch of campers are supposed to be sleeping, and that was that area that got a bunch of people.
Yeah, and also it's built really interesting because it's very much a maze path that you have to follow, but it is built out of bunk beds instead of using walls. So you're going through this thing, and you got to follow it, and like you know, Jason's in there, and that was really cool. But you go through all that, and you could see Jason's mom and like, okay, you know, right on. And then like James said, the last scene, I think the last indoor scene is Freddy again. So he's in like the other side of this cabin, which, may have been like my biggest eye roll. Oh my God, I can't believe that happened moment of my entire night. And I got it on video.
What
which was
it?
Rad. So when you do haunts, one of the things that the very, very, very first thing you are taught if you are an actor in a haunt is you never say, do you know what you never say
no,
if you're working in a haunt?
I do not.
Boo. You never say the word.
Why is that?
Boo. Because boo is not scary.
Oh, is that why? I was just
wondering. Okay. Boo is not scary. It is literally the first thing they teach you when you are an actor in a haunt. You have noisemakers. You can bang your hand. You can scream. You can yell. Never, ever say boo. So we're walking in. And I've got my phone up and I'm recording and like I went around Freddy and he's like coming at me and then I was walking backwards and he was walking towards me and I was like, this is going to make the coolest video. And it was so, I was so excited and whatnot. And then he got real close to my camera and he goes, boo.
But that's such a Freddy thing to say. Come on.
So I stopped recording. And I went, and then he goes, like, see you tonight or something like that. And I was like, in your dreams. And I walked out. So, but I was so like, oh, it like hurt. It like physically hurt my haunt soul. Okay.
All right. Well, now we all know. I didn't know that. So don't say boo. If anyone's gonna say it, any character, I can imagine Freddy. I think I was there. I mean, I was there, and I think I remember that. And the way I interpreted it to be whatever type of attempted humor as it was that clearly he wasn't surprising you because he was in your face the whole time.
Totally.
So he's just coming at you, and then you know, boo, you
I
know, just,
and like if. If I hadn't ever worked a haunt, you know what I mean? If I hadn't ever worked a haunt, if I didn't, like, if this was not ingrained in my head, then I might have looked at it totally differently. Mm-hmm. But the instant it came out of his mouth, I was just like, oh, my God, did that really happen? Like, wow, wow. But it is Freddy. And so, you're right, if anyone's going to say it, it's going to be him. But, man, if you're going to play Freddy and you're going to get that close to people, you better be able to come up with some quick one-liners. Like, that is what he's known for. You need to get off them zingers.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Not like, see you tonight. Yeah. Cool.
See you tonight.
Yeah. That's what he says. See you tonight. So I had to finish the joke.
Right.
In your dreams.
Yeah, there's a lot of... You know what they need to do? They need to hire whoever does Megatron at the Universal meet and greets.
Yes!
Because those
talk
quips.
About amazing improv.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Those quips, those are intense, man. I'm like,
right?
And that was pretty much the experience of that. It was cool.
It was fun.
It's not for if you're a Jason fan. I think you know. I think this is more of a Friday the 13th maze. It's not.
Yeah.
There's not really anything there that's like, if you're a Nightmare fan, that you're gonna be like, oh man, this is sweet.
No, it literally is like Freddy moved in with Jason.
Yeah.
Like they are now domestic partners, sharing this lake, and they're just gonna hang out. Like
right,
and it's
right.
Okay. Yeah.
So, which is probably for the best. I mean, if it was just a Friday the 13th maze, I'm not sure that would have been as awesome. I mean, it could have been, but...
No, I mean, there's so much property that you could work with. Like, yes, you could probably fill it, but it's Jason, so it's really just the same thing over and over.
Right.
So, yeah, so that break...
So, yeah, it was good to have it, but it wasn't... Like, for example, last year at Hollywood Horror Nights Hollywood, they had the Titans of Terror maze, which you just distinctly walk through three separate sections. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a Nightmare on Elm Street maze. It's whatever the hell.
Friday 13th and Texas Chainsaw.
That's right. I was like, my brain's reading a bunch. But it was broken up, like... You know, and so you're having those experiences.
Yeah.
And I never got to do Freddy vs. Jason maze at Orlando, but I've seen pictures and, you know, classic scenes from Nightmare films were portrayed, like Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 when, you know, when Freddy's in the TV and picks the girl up and, like,
yes.
Welcome to prime time. You know, like, oh. Like the, you know, so you got to experience, like, and see those...
If anybody
scenes.
Out there runs a haunt and you really, really, really want to make me happy, you will just build a Dream Warriors maze for me to hang out in. That would be amazing.
That'd be cool because, I mean, especially with the Halloween franchise, Horror Nights has been doing mazes set on the particular films and mm-hmm. the sequels. So if there was a...
Dream Warriors would be so cool. It has some of the best, like, scenes and deaths and... Oh, I love that movie.
See, for me... I say that it's my favorite, but I actually kind of morph it in with Dream Master.
Like, Dream Master's like the second best one in the whole.
But to me, those are kind of like one movie. Like the one ends where the other one starts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same vibe. It's
half the same cast.
It's the best quality. I know that a lot of horror purists. Love the original because it was so intense and that no frame of reference.
Amazing.
It was before Freddy started being super, witty and sarcastic. And so it was just intense and scary. But to me, like I always say, Dream Warriors and Dream Master, like that's when I was the most into it. And that's, I think the first film I saw was Dream Warriors in all honesty.
Oh.
So that's, you know, and in fact, it can be the first
film. It totally can be. It absolutely can be. I mean, it's got Nancy, so it goes back to the first one, but it totally could be the first. We got so off track.
I know, man.
From Horror Made Here. Okay, so.
I mean, we're off track and we're just rambling, but we're still at its core talking about the potential of what.
Yes.
What can be done here.
But my favorite house was definitely It Knows What Scares You.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool. But as far as just a full immersive experience, cutting out the Freddy cheesiness, the Nightmare on Crystal Lake was awesome.
Yeah. It was. I didn't quite know what to expect. It exceeded my expectations.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Especially since the Nightmare on Elm Street maze that Harmon Hare had last year was kind of whatever. Like, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever done. But it was like, it kind of felt like I did it. Like with my non-haunter skill. But, you know, like not like the quality was super low, but like if they like threw it to me, they're like, all right, James... You got an hour. Give me a Nightmare on Elm Street maze in the space. And where it was in the same place where Arkham was.
Okay.
And it was, that was, that space and also in films was set up to be a high school. So the scenes take place in a high school.
Okay.
You know, so you're just kind of walking through a high school.
Yeah.
Like through different rooms, and there was kind of a path of garbage. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm legit now, okay, I could build a Freddy house in a high school, but like it's such limited on the like scenes you could pull from.
Right. Yeah. Like, it was like, oh, that's cool, Freddy's here. And I mean, it wasn't like the sweetest Nightmare on Elm Street maze. You know, so based on that, it almost seemed like they were using them because they had to. Mm-hmm. Because that was just a character, you know, because they own New Line Cinema, so they have access to the New Line characters. And literally that same year is when they had the Titans of Terror at Hollywood,
yep.
Which was a much better Nightmare on Elm Street experience. So Hardmaid here hasn't nailed Nightmare on Elm Street yet.
No, but they do real good on Friday the 13th.
Yeah. So there's still room to grow, and also I feel the dread in the pit of my stomach that there's another new Nightmare on Elm Street film in the works somehow.
I don't want to think about that.
And with that, it'll be at Horror Made Here.
Shh, don't put that out in the universe.
No, I know it's there. There's no way. There's no, I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Horror Made Here was fun.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah, and I think in conclusion, the only other thing, I thought they had some food offerings there that I thought were okay. In the past, last year, they had food trucks, which I thought, I just love food trucks.
Well,
and
yeah.
What kind of, you know, the eclectic style they bring. This was mm-hmm. like pretty straightforward.
Carnival, a lot of carnival food.
Carnival food.
Circus food, yeah. Which, you know, now when you, a big picture makes more sense.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll give you that. Like,
they had some like specialty things outside the Exorcist house. Like they had a split pea soup,
right,
and a couple of other things. But other than that, nothing was super like themed.
Yeah, and I wanted that, but that's just like me being, you know, nitpicking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not what you go there for.
No, not really.
So very cool event. We had a great time. We, you know, definitely thank Warner Brothers for having us there to experience it, and whatever critiques that we may have is definitely, you know, from love, you know, because we really
enjoyed it. We had an amazing time, and you know, I 100% feel that if we had not been there, basically on their dress rehearsal night, that 90% of the stuff that we were like, did that just happen? Would not have happened.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm sure they would have worked it all out. We didn't mention also that they had the Beetlejuice props and miniature on display.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, over in the back in the store where the Nightmare at Crystal Lake tour actually drops you off. They had stuff from Beetlejuice and...
They had Corpse Bride figures in there. It was basically a Tim Burton tribute. They had wardrobe from Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, it was neat.
So it was cool. So that area, that's available during Horror Made Here, but that's also that whole situation. That whole room is part of their regular daytime tour. That I think that's where you start or end it, and then they gave you these little experiences, a lot of photo ops with the green screen. You could. Ride a broom for Harry Potter.
Yeah, and some other stuff. So it was, that was cool.
Yeah, it's something to mention.
Yeah. All in all, though, fun night.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
I think these guys are just getting started, so I'm looking forward to what they bring next year.
Yeah, for sure. Like, the fact that this is their third year, only their third year, and that every year it has been different and, like, grown and whatnot, thinking about what they could have next year or in 2 years or in 3 years is just amazing.
Who knows?
Like,
I mean, and with the properties they have access to, so at that Midsummer Screen Panel, people were just randomly asking them, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? You know, and one person brought up something that didn't even cross my mind. Was like, it's like, are you going to have some kind of Harry Potter experience there? And currently, they don't, you know, Harry Potter's not part of any Halloween Horror Nights experience in the U.S. They do have a Death Eater show in Japan during Halloween Horror Nights. But you just think, like, all right, this is their property.
Yeah.
and then they did the Arkham thing.
Mm-hmm. So, who knows?
But... All right. I think this is by far our shortest haunt review of the season.
Probably. I don't even know how long we've been talking for.
I don't know. The other ones are... Well, we're an hour and a half. I mean, the other one, we really... 2 hours has been the average.
Well, Knott's was big. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that's...
That wraps it up, huh?
That's it. Yep. Go see Horror Made Here. Festival of Frights.
What she said. If you want to contact us here at the show, just email creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, pictures, and all that good stuff, just go to creepykingdom.com. The next Stay Haunted episode will be part one of our Halloween Horror Nights Orlando review. Until next time, folks, stay haunted.